When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. And dear listeners, today we have a special guest who has taken time out of his busy schedule to chat with us on the podcast and tell some stories to you.
Hello there! Miss Rachel Ann Harding, it is so wonderful to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well, Santa. Thank you for coming on the podcast. This is so exciting.
I have to tell you, you are one of my absolute favorite people. You are one of the people who keeps stories, storytelling and stories going. And that's really important to a legendary person who depends a lot on belief. So thank you very much.
Well, you have some of the oldest stories, and you must have heard a lot of them. So I wanted to get started asking you a couple questions and then have you tell us a story.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. Just so you know, when I'm 1,750 years old. And so for me, stories are kind of like my companions. They've been traveling through time with me, and I'll hear them over and over again and hear how they change and how they move from culture to culture. And honestly, when I sit by a fire or I'm at a kitchen table and I hear a traditional story being told, oh, it warms the cockles of this old heart, I have to tell you.
That's very old. So can you say that number again for us so that we...
I am 1,750 years old. I was originally born March 15th in 270 AD.
That is a long time ago. So you've seen a lot of things change.
Yep. And you know, and especially in this day and time, I realize everything that's going on in the world, the pandemic and so on and so forth, but this is not my first sleigh ride. I saw the plagues, the Black Plague, you know, and so on and so forth. I saw the Spanish flu, and I'm here to tell everyone, we will get through this. Humanity is much tougher than they know, but we have to take care of each other. The big and the small of us, we have to take care of each other. And if we do it, we will be on the other side. And guess what? At the end of this, I've got a feeling it's going to look a lot like the 60s. Everybody giving hugs to everybody.
And bell bottoms. Maybe we'll bring back
bell bottoms. Oh, yes. Corduroy bell bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have any other questions?
Well, I have a question of what it's like at the North Pole, because I know you live up there and it's starting to be winter here, but I'm wondering what it's like where you live.
Well, currently, I think it's about 17 degrees Fahrenheit outside. 9 degrees Fahrenheit, which would be negative 15 or so centigrade, something like that. I'm not good at the new math. But the thing I was going to say is, so there are three North Poles. Mm-hmm. If you were to look from satellite, pretty much all you would see is sea ice and water, mm-hmm. especially now with global warming. So there's the geographic North Pole, where you look on maps. There's the magnetic North Pole, and the magnetic North Pole actually moves around a bit. It's actually, I think, in Russia right now. And then, yeah, it moves. And then there's the magical North Pole. Now, for those of us who are storytellers, especially traditional storytellers, where I live now is called Claus Valley. And you need a little bit of magic to find it, which is one of the reasons why I have storytellers stopping by to say hi all the time, because mm-hmm. they always have a little bit of magic. But the so what happened was when I moved north and became the toy maker, I ran into the elves, and the elves told me about this place called Hyperborea. And everything weird comes from the north. That's the old joke. If you ask any of the Greeks, the Romans, what have you, everything weird is from the north. And so we headed up there, and I found this perfect valley that could only be found by the magical people and magical creatures. And so a lot of the magical creatures in the in our world have come to live with me because humanity expanded like rabbits and they needed a safe place to go. It's kind of its own little pocket dimension. So up there we have giants and gnomes and dragons and all sorts of things. And we kind of have a live, let live policy. They do their thing, I do mine. And then of course we have the elves. And thank goodness for the elves, because they're the ones sharing their magic with me and helping me on my mission. And there's a reason that they are helping me on my mission. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
Well, first of all, people ask me if I pay the elves. And the thing is when you live a couple thousand years long, money doesn't mean a lot. Mm. Right? The things that are really valuable are intangible. But to the elves, the one thing they absolutely love is staying busy. And so, you know, by helping me on my mission to help inspire humanity, to encourage creativity and anonymous giving, right? They look at it as kind of an investment for me to go out there and help humanity get better. And so if I give a pair of ballet slippers to a young boy and he becomes the next Baryshnikov, if I give a chemistry set to a young lady and she ends up being the next Madame Curie, I am doing what I set out to do, and that's why the elves help me.
It's good. It sounds like a good relationship where both of you are getting what you want and also supporting people in finding their dreams and kids around the world.
Yeah, and one, the other thing to remember is the elves have glamour. And so when you have glamour, you can look like anything you want. And so, you know, the elves do come out and keep tabs on things for me and bring back information. That whole elf on the shelf thing, you know, honestly, that's an elf thing. It's not a me thing. I'm just saying. I wouldn't send elves to misbehave in somebody's home as an example. I'm just saying.
You know, elves, they are out and about a lot. So
we have a saying at the North Pole. They're not from around here. They don't know what cheese is. So and then we also have another saying at the North Pole. There are two important deer: yes deer and reindeer. Mrs. C runs the joint.
Yeah.
She's just a young whippersnapper compared to me. She's only about 200, and so we don't mention the lady's age, but
of course
compared to me, I was very old when she ran into me, and she's still trying to get past the 20 layers of grumpification. I'm just saying.
Is she the one that's updating a lot of the things and bringing you into the next century?
When I'm doing my mission from the North Pole, I hear her in my ear the whole way. All right, sweetie, you got to speed up near Madagascar or you're never going to finish off South Africa in time. I'm like, really? You get out here and drive this sleigh. Oh, and I want to show you something, if I may. So my Mrs. C, she makes the world's best cookies.
I'm sure I
am something of an expert. However, she likes to get experimental, and so she wants me to eat more healthy. And so she made me asparagus cookies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yum. Have you tried them yet?
Yes.
How are they?
They're healthy. I give them to the reindeer, and I have to tell you, the reindeer just gobble them right up. And they, for them, it's like a Scooby snack. They just love them. But I have to tell you, when you're doing 8,000 miles per hour behind 9 gassy reindeer, that will take your eyebrows off. So she keeps making them for me, and the reindeer love them, but I love cookies. And people always ask me, Santa, what's your favorite cookie? And my favorite cookie is the kind you made.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, wouldn't it get boring if I got the same cookie everywhere I went?
Absolutely. And I'm sure they're different from continent to continent.
Oh, yes. In some countries like England, I'll get a mince pie and sherry. You know, I'll head up to Ireland, you know, or Scotland and get a wee dran. I'll head to Nigeria. They'll make me fish soup, which is tasty. I'll head down to Australia and they'll give me a nice cold beer. And that's when I switch over to the kangaroos to give the reindeer a rest.
Right.
Right. 6 white boomers and they're all called Bruce. So anyway, then I switch back to my normal team and we come back around. So, you know, technically it's anywhere between 36 and 24 hours for me to deliver to the 333 million homes I visit.
That's a That's a lot of homes.
It is. But, you know, I have to tell you, one of the most, it's been a rough year. People can still visit me virtually. But because I am still human, at least nominally, I want to make certain I don't accidentally infect anybody or get infected or so on and so forth. And children, do not worry. Santa is moving past the speed of Mach 8. The virus doesn't even have a chance to keep up with me. Okay. So sure. I'm in and out in a flash. By the way, if you happen to be looking, at the, outside your window on Christmas Eve and you see a red flash go by like this, do you know what that is?
I wouldn't.
That's Rudolph. And you know what Rudolph is doing?
What?
He's getting to the house and eating all my cookies before I get there. I get back up to the roof and he's up there going, I'm like, really, Rudy? Come on, man.
What he's got to stay fueled too.
Right. Well, my reindeer are kind of like superheroes. They all have special powers.
Uh-huh.
And so Blitzen and Donner, their names literally mean thunder and lightning. And mm-hmm. so when I'm flying through an electrical storm, Blitzen can just wrap that electricity up in his antlers. As we're going, when we speed up to past Mach 8, if I didn't have Donner, the sonic booms would be waking everybody up. But because Donner can absorb that, and of course, when Rudolph was born, he had that perfect red light that was perfect for getting through the fog. So,
yep.
A very wonderful and lucky mutation. By the way, Rudolph is completely grown now. He's fully grown, and uh-huh. he has a little daughter named Fireball.
Does she also have the little red nose?
She glows.
All of her.
All of her. And so when we see her up in the sky, she's like,
at least she's easy to find, you know, then you can at least find her.
Yeah, although when she gets excited, it could be a little hard on the eyes. So, did you have any other questions?
Well, we have some questions from the patrons, but I wanted to know.
Questions, wonderful.
I wanted to know if you wanted to tell us the story first.
Well, two stories that I don't hear very often that I do like telling, because Santa is an old storyteller. Sometimes when I'm out of season, I'll wander to old Renaissance festivals or SCA events or, you know, cultural festivals, and they'll just see me as a sweet old man with a beard and hopefully some good stories. So, you know, I have a friend, his name is True Thomas the Storyteller, and he tips me off at the good gigs to go to. So that's a wonderful thing. Okay. And Michael D. McCarty, of course, he's always hooking me up. And so I know a few people in the storytelling community. Do you want the Christmas spider or the Snow White mittens?
Let's do the Christmas spider.
Ah, good choice. Once upon a time, there was a woman and she was very, very poor. Oh, she was so poor. And unfortunately, her husband had passed away and she had two children and they lived in a little tiny hut. And this hut, it was the poorest of all huts. It barely held together. It had dirt floors. And so they lived in this tiny little hut with its dirt floors. And then one spring, as the children were playing, one of the children looked down and said, "Mama, Mama, look." And there was a little tiny tree starting to grow out of the floor. And they looked, it was a little pine tree. And the mama said, "Well, I'll go get a knife and cut it." And they said, "No, Mama. Mama, can we please keep it? Can you say that for me? Say, no, Mama."
"No, Mama."
And she went, she looked at your big eyes and couldn't resist. And so she said, just like that. And so she said, "Okay, fine." And wouldn't you know it, throughout the summer, that tree got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until they had the perfect little Christmas tree growing inside their house. How wonderful is that? But the snows came and went and it was all wishly and cold. Can you go like this? Yep, it was cold and wishly. And I have to tell you, she was very sad. Now, this is so long ago that I hadn't started visiting everybody yet. And so people were back then still kind of on their own for presents. I was visiting, but I didn't have the sleigh or anything back then. Mm. So anyway, I wasn't going to be visiting that house, sad to say. And she was very sad because she didn't have anything to give her children for Christmas morning. And she was getting ready and she was banking the fire and going to send them all to bed when one of the children said, "Mama, Mama, look! Mama, look!" And she went over and looked, and there in the tree was a spider. And the spider was going back and forth across the tree, and it was leaving beautiful webs back and forth. And the mama looked and she went, "Ew, I hate spiders." And she ran over to grab a broom, and the children said, "No, Mama, Mama, go ahead."
"No, Mama, Mama."
They saw that and they said, "Mama, the spider is decorating the tree for us." She walked over to that broom and she looked at that spider and said, "All right, it's Christmas Eve, so you get a reprieve. But tomorrow, we're taking you outside, Mr. Spider." And so she turned and she went to bed, and the children went to bed, and it was a cold and wishly night. The next morning was Christmas morn, and the soft light, the morning light was coming in through the paper windows, cool and gray. And she got up and she got the fire going and started to get some water going and some of the porridge going. And she got the heat starting to go inside the house. And she turned and looked, and she looked at the tree, and the tree was covered in silver and gold. And she went, "Huh?" And she thought, no, this is just a trick of the light. It's the morning light coming through the trees. But then the children got up, and the children walked over and looked at the tree and said, "Mama, Mama, look. The tree is covered in silver and gold." And she walked over, and there on the tree was silver and gold thread. The whole tree was covered in silver and gold thread. It was a Christmas miracle. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if you see here in my hat, the beautiful gold thread, back in those days, that gold thread, that would be used in the cloaks of kings and queens and merchants and rich and important people, and they would pay a lot of money for it. And so she took that silver and gold thread, and she wound it up, and she went to the market, and she came back from the market, and she had tons of food. Everybody say, "Nom, nom, nom."
Nom, 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 nom.
She had tons of toys. Everybody say, "Yay!
Yay!"
And most importantly, she had warm socks.
Yeah.
Santa's a big believer in warm socks. And so good ones, wool ones. Mm. And so she brought in that, and they lived happily ever after. Now, that's not the end of the story.
Oh.
No. Do you think she chopped down that tree?
I would hope not.
No, she didn't. In fact, she had a much nicer house built around that tree. And that tree was an honored guest for many years. And for 3 years, on Christmas Eve, that spider would come back and it would decorate the tree back and forth. And the next morning she would wake up and she would take that silver and gold thread and she would sell it in the market. And this time she took the money from that gold and silver thread and she used it to help the poor and the people of her area.
Hmm.
Well, I have to tell you, everybody heard about this magical spider because kids. And so they started talking about it. Everybody wanted to have a magical spider that put silver and gold in their tree.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, people would take spiders and put them in the tree and they did not get the same results. There you go. But in the German and the Ukrainian traditions, they started making beautiful beaded spiders.
Ooh.
And they would put them up in the tree, and the person who spotted that spider, you know, would be hidden in the tree. The person who spotted that spider first would have good luck the whole coming year.
Oh.
And we still kind of celebrate this, even though we don't know it. Where is it? Ah. Some people think that where we get the tradition of tinsel is from that tradition of the Christmas spider. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. I have tinsel on my tree this year, and anyone who has tinsel on their trees at home now know where that comes from.
Well, it's certainly one story. I'm certain there are others. Some people say it's because it looks like icicles. Me, I like to think the Christmas spider. And I have to tell you, when I go to visit a house and I tell that story, I ask the parents, I said, would you like Santa to tell a story? And they go, yay, let me tell you a story about spiders. And they go. But you know what I always do when I visit? I always leave, when I tell that story at a house, I always leave them a beautiful Christmas spider of their own.
Oh, isn't that's cool? Wonderful. I think spiders get a bad rap. They're
absolutely important. And of course, if you, my fellow storytellers, know that there's tons of great spider stories. We've got Anansi and Grandmother Spider, and there's just all sorts of wonderful Arachne, right? The Greek tradition. So all my storyteller friends, and if you doubt that Santa is a storyteller, I would just like to point out, here's the Storyteller's Handbook, here's the Book of Folklore and Mythology, you know, all my books here, I am surrounded by stories because that's part of the magic.
And those of you who are listening on the podcast, you can come and see this video on YouTube and see what Santa's pointing at, because we're seeing a corner of his workshop. And he has a lot of books on the shelves. And he's got the Storyteller's Book. He's got notes on the shelves.
I have a bunch of stuff from, let's see, World Storytelling from our beloved August House. I believe this one's by Josepha Sherman, but I have them all. Oh, Heather Forrest and all these other fantastic storytellers have contributed, because you got to remember, at the North Pole, we sometimes lose our communication with the rest of the world. You know, the Aurora Borealis gets a little tricksy and we lose our communication. So having a couple of good books is a good thing. Because if you ask the elves to tell stories, you better be prepared to sit for 100 years.
They're chatty, are they?
It's not so much they're chatty, but have you ever read The Silmarillion?
No, I haven't. That's a really long book.
Think the Upanishads.
Okay.
So, let's see. And then, you know, I tell, you know, stories have been a big part of Christmas for hundreds of years. The tales and the glories and scary ghost stories of Christmases long, long ago, long ago. Absolutely. And so telling ghost stories was a tradition. One of the most famous ones, of course, was Gawain and the Green Knight. Right? That's a traditional Christmas story. But if I went in and said, Santa's going to tell a story about chopping off heads, they would probably go, maybe not.
Though I think there are some kids who would get rather
interested. Oh, yeah. No, the kids would love it. Unfortunately, though, traditional folktales tend to be sometimes not politically correct the way we think.
Yeah.
Even though they are chock full of the wisdom that children absolutely need.
It's true.
And when I say children, I mean children of all ages. When you're 1,750 years old, they're all kids.
Everybody's children to you.
You know what my AARP number is? One.
One. As long as they're taking good care of you.
You know, I Mrs. C runs the joint, and the elves, I've got my head elf, Ilmarin, and then we have some kind of crazy inventor elves who are Sparks, who... you know, who helped me make, I mainly do toy development and research and spokes claws, for lack of a term. Everything else, Mrs. Claus runs it. She's in charge of being resources, you know, the occasional weird cookie baking.
You know, you got to try out all of the different recipes. And I suppose when you've been baking cookies for 200 years, you've gone through a lot of recipes.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't know that she has the magic telescope.
Oh.
You know, she has a magic golden telescope, and she's in charge of the Naughty or Nice list, not me.
Oh, okay. So this brings us to a question. So we do have questions from our Patreon supporters. So I'm going to give a quick, the questions are from the Patreon supporters, people who have been supporting the podcast monthly, and they get goodies all year round. But I also reached out and said that we had a very special guest. And so we've got a couple. Now, one of them comes from Colleen, and she says, how does Mrs. Claus feel about Christmas? Because she's in it all year. Mm-hmm. And does she do all the baking, or does she have help?
Absolutely, she has help. But one of the things about elves is if you hang around them too much, the magic kind of rubs off a little bit. And it's important for us, for Mrs. Claus and I, to maintain our humanity. And so we have our own little house. And so Santa will do the dishes and, you know, and Mrs. Claus. And we try to keep grounded in that way, so you keep us from getting caught in the magic too much. Mm. And so she makes cookies in the house. And then she has an industrial bakery where she supervises all the high quality baking goods that go out. And I have to tell you, I have to be careful about baked goods now when I go traveling around. Baked goods in Colorado has a whole nother meaning these days.
Yes, it does.
So Mrs. Claus is my logistics person. She runs the joint and she has many helpers. She has her own sleigh. She has her own two reindeer, Bouncer and Breeze, and help her get around when she needs to do things. And then during non-pandemic times, after the season, we take a long vacation. We go to some place where we can have umbrellas and fruity drinks. Mm-hmm. And you know, lately, Mrs. Claus and I have been learning base jumping and flamenco dancing. So we try to, we are the original active seniors.
Of course, you mix it up. I mean, it sounds like your original snowbirds too.
Oh yeah, you know? Well. we do try, and the other thing is Claus Valley does have seasons, so our summers are a little shorter, but I actually have a hot house, and so I grow flowers from Mrs. Claus, and so, like, for instance, I just put some fresh lilacs next to her bedstand.
Oh, that's lovely.
You know, it's the little things we do. There's an old saying in Irish, an dráil seach, which means we exist to do favors.
That sounds like a very Santa phrase.
It is. Well, if I didn't invent it, it would have to be invented. So, other questions?
So, the next one is from Harvey, and this one is a little bit longer, but it's a good question. So, he writes, here's a question for Santa I've always wanted to know. Who manages his naughty or nice list? That's a big job for one person. Is it some computer algorithm program that makes the list, or do you have elf spies searching out different regions and reporting back to you? He says, as a lay human, we can make suggestions. He has a few this year for the naughty list and a few for the nice list. He says he can recommend me and Simon and Isabel, my co-hosts, for the nice list. And he was asking for a friend.
Well, absolutely. I anybody who's a patron of Story Story is absolutely on the nice list. Let's just get that out of the way.
Excellent.
So we have the Golden Telescope. Mrs. Claus has had that since about 1844, I think. Mm-hmm. And so when we have iffy questions, she uses that to kind of tune in and tell us. You know, and there have been people who have kind of, the weird thing is what happens in the real world and what happens at the North Pole kind of mirror each other. Mm-hmm. You remember, it's probably before your time, but there was a young lady who had a thing she did for a children's program, Romper Stomper, Bumper Boo. I see you. And she had a magic way that she could see all the children while she was doing her shows on television. And so Mrs. Claus is very much the same way. She can tune in. But the thing is for lack of a better term, Santa is multi-dimensional. And so any archetype that is out there, I can reach out into. And so, for instance, I have my Naughty or Nice Pocket Edition.
I see.
And I would let you read it, but it's all in Elvish.
Yeah, I don't read Elvish. I've gotten a little rusty on that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is children are very good at reading Elvish. It's a little known fact. And so I just get out my magic glass and I just start saying the names and then they start manifesting in the book.
Ah.
So it's a continually updating database and she's in charge of it. So the elves help a little bit when we have questions, but by and large, it seems to operate itself. And again, this is part of that whole, you know, you don't know how it works, but you're not going to throw any sticks at it. So that's the, and as far as politicians being on the naughty or nice list, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Santa is not allowed to interfere with human affairs. If I could, I would deliver a box full of vaccines for every stocking on the planet and I would hand out stockings. But unfortunately, I can't. I am a toy maker.
Yes.
I have to say, this is, you know, try building a PlayStation when you're used to building wooden horses. Okay? I'm doing pretty good.
I would say so. I would say so.
And we, by the way, we have non-disclosure agreements and cooperation agreements with all the major toy manufacturers, so that, you know, when they, the kids look at a toy and it says Mattel and everything, there's a reason why that is because we would, as a toy maker, I would never want to take business away from a company that makes toys, mm-hmm. because people mm-hmm. depend on those jobs. And so I have to be very careful about what I can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. It's called the gift paradox.
As long as it all works out and things end up underneath the tree every year.
We do our best. We do our best.
Yeah. So we got two more questions.
Absolutely.
Which you almost answered one of these. So Alan asks, if his elf on the shelf doesn't move, does that mean he's been bad and that Santa won't come?
No. What that means is that, like I said, elves have a little bit of glamour. Mm-hmm. And trying to explain what glamour is like, imagine if you've ever watched a show called Star Trek. We love Star Trek up at the North Pole because it envisions a society where people are genuinely looking out for each other. But in Star Trek, they have something called the holodeck. Mm-hmm. And when you go onto the holodeck, the power goes on and everything seems real no matter where they are. They could be in the future, in the past, what have you. That's kind of the way elvish magic works. If as long as you believe it, it's as real as can be. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a little bit of belief, there's a pretty good chance that elf is just a puppet or something, and the real elf is headed back. And then what will happen is that elf will move back and turn back into its normal self. So your elf could actually just be running a mission for Santa Claus or Mrs. Claus.
Ah.
So no, don't worry about it.
Okay, that's good to know. And then the last one is, so not all of the Story podcast listeners celebrate Christmas, and just wanted to know if you had a new message for them.
I absolutely do. So one of Santa's favorite stories to tell is Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins.
Oh.
Yes. Another gift I tell is a Persian story called The Gift of the Wali Dad, which is about a gift that keeps going on and getting bigger and bigger as it goes. Santa did not invent the idea of targeted anonymous giving. However, the concept of targeted anonymous giving is within the fundamental core values of the Muslim tradition, of the Indian traditions, of the Jewish traditions. It's I believe the third column of the Torah, and certainly you can see examples of it in the Midrash. It's targeted anonymous giving, the ideals of Christmas, of equality and kindness and giving without expectation of reward. That's one of the fundamental values of what it is to be a human being. And so no matter whether you're Christian or not, and by the way, Santa gets a little annoyed at this one. People will say, I say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Okay, well, first of all, Happy Holidays means Happy Holy Days. So when somebody says Happy Holy Days, they're actually being more religious and they're giving you a 30-day greeting, or until 12th night anyway. But so it's very absurd. And then the other thing is that if you look in religious, in the Christian tradition, one of the key stories is the story of the Good Samaritan. And here you have a person who is not of the local religion. He's a stranger, and yet he goes and he helps somebody when all the good people, quote unquote, good people in the area don't lift a finger. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, go forth and do likewise. He is not saying, well, we're not going to pay any attention to somebody from another religion. Instead, he's telling a story about how being good transcends religion. And so in that case, I would say it doesn't matter what faith we believe in, so long as we take a chance at believing in each other and trying to make a difference. And that's kind of what Santa is all about. My mission is to get out there and inspire people to be their better selves, more creative. And by the way, why do I give gifts to kids and not, you know, why do I give them toys instead of like rubber tires or frozen fish? I do it because I want to inspire them when they're the least cynical. If I can inspire them at that point, what people don't understand is belief is critical. Whether you believe in Santa or something else, if you believe in something like justice and equality, it's intangible. You can't touch it. But unless we all believe in it, it's not going to do us any good. So by me helping people learning how to believe in something bigger than ourselves, it's our little way of helping everybody here at the North Pole.
And we can use all that kind of love and goodness and support around the world now and in the future and as we move forward together as a community and as a people.
Oh yeah, and that's one of the reasons why storytelling is so important. Storytelling is one of the most important. If Santa had a way to get everybody to sit around and listen to stories like Story Podcast, I would absolutely recommend it, because when we listen to stories, we visualize, and therefore it speaks to truth and relevance, what is important to us. And when you can walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, when you can see somebody else's perspective, that's a gift that Santa can't put under a tree.
That's true. Speaking of stories, do you have one more for us?
All right, one quick one.
Okay.
Hang on just a second. I believe this is a Ukrainian folktale. When you get as old as I am, they all tend to blend in with each other.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, there was a young child. Let's call her Anne. And Anne was telling her grandmama, Grandma, can I have some Snow White mittens? And Grandma said, we live in the Ukraine. It's snowing outside. You drop a Snow White mitten in the snow, it'll get lost. It'll disappear. No. And Anne said, please. Go ahead, Anne.
Please.
See, there you go. And she said, please, 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 please.
Please, 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 please.
And her grandmother said, well, let's see what happens Christmas morning. Oh. Well, cold and wishly, because it's Ukraine. And Christmas morning, what did Anne find underneath the tree but from her grandmother? A gift. A beautiful pair of Snow White mittens.
Yay.
For the viewing audience, Santa is wearing a beautiful pair of Snow White mittens. And so she put on those Snow White mittens, and Anne being Anne and her always trickifying and goofy doing, she ran outside to play. And she was a pirate, yarr. She was a dinosaur, rawr. She decided she was going to be a superhero, and she climbed a tree. And then she was a knight, and she was flinging her sword and her shield around, and then one of her gloves fell off. And it went into the snow, and she couldn't see it. And so she climbed down the tree quickly, and she looked around, and she could not find that mitten. She was so sad. And the worst part is she knew her grandmother might say, I told you so, and she hated that. So she looked and she looked, but she couldn't find it. And she headed home, and she was very sad. Everybody say, aw.
Aw.
Yes. Well, that night, somebody did find that missing mitten. It was a little hedgehog. And that little hedgehog, it found that Snow White mitten, and it said,
oh, that's very nice. That's very warm. Oh,
and it snuggled inside, and it turned around. And then there was a... It was a hare, a rabbit. That hare looked in and said, hey, that looks really nice in there. Can I climb in there with you? And the hedgehog said,
yeah, okay.
And so the hare climbed inside. Well, then there was a it was a great big owl. And they all said, who's in there? And they said, us. Can I come in? It's very cold out here. And they looked at the owl, and they looked at the talons and went, okay. And so the owl climbed inside. And then other animals came, one after another. And the mitten kept getting stretched and stretched and stretched. And then came a badger. And I'm talking one of your cool European badgers, not your scary American badgers that look like they're going to knife you. And this was a cool, you know, the cool European badgers that look like they're going to have tea with you. And then it climbed in and went, and they were all in there nice and warm and snug as a bug when they heard. It was a bear. And the bear looked down and said, hey, can I get in there? And the animals went, yes. And so the bear slowly wiggled back into it, and it was nice and warm. And the hare said, hey, I've got a bear butt in my face. And the bear said, well, I've got a hair on my butt. Well, anyway, that bear was in there, and his nose was just sticking out when all of a sudden they heard, hey, can I get in there? And they looked down, and there was a little mouse. And the bear said, okay, but I don't want to step on you, so you maybe want to go on my nose. And so the bear let the mouse climb up until it climbed right up onto the bear's nose. And there it was, nice and warm. Now, I have to tell you a little secret about mice. When they're happy, their tails go like this. And what do you think happened?
Oh, that tickled his nose.
Yeah, and what happens when you tickle a nose?
You have to sneeze.
And so that bear, everybody do it with me. And I have to tell you, that mitten went, and it flew off. And the slumber party was canceled, and all the animals had to go home to their own warm homes. Everybody saying, aw.
Aw.
Now, the next morning, little Anne went outside, and what did she see sitting right there in front of her house like magic, but the Snow White mitten. But it had gotten a little stretched out. And I have to tell you, it was so big, she just decided, you know what? I'm going to wear it as a hat. you might want to describe this, Anne.
So Santa is wearing a very big mitten on his head. That mitten that was stretched out by all those animals is big enough that it fits his head now as a warm, cozy hat.
Yep. And I saw that hat and it looked so nice and everything. I said, look, it even has a handle so you could change your mind. And so Santa got one of those. And from that day to this, I think most of the people in Ukraine, when they wear a snow white glove, they put a little red thread on it or something so they can find it a little better. But now you've heard the story of the Snow White mitten.
Yay. Thank you. Now, Santa, we're about to finish up here. If moms and dads want to reach out to you or maybe arrange a recording or a visit, where can they find you?
They can find me at jingleclaws.com. And if I can't visit with you live because I only have so much amount of time, I'm trying to run everything at the workshop and it's being crazy. The elves, for whatever reason, decided they were going to try to put live giraffes in the sleigh and that caused some damage. Yeah, I have to keep going back. Not literal. Anyway, so we're still working on that, but we can do some live visits, and also I can do some pre-recorded visits for that are customized for them. Just my way of you know, sharing a little love, because you know, Christmas is all about the fun and stories. So I have a request from you, if I may.
Of course.
All of you, try to do something nice for somebody in secret between now and Christmas Eve. Remember, this is all about targeted anonymous giving. A lot of people forget that they think that Christmas is about getting, and it's really all about giving. So if you could reach out and do something nice for somebody in secret, children, it can be a chore, it could be a donation. And just do something nice in secret between now and Christmas Eve, and I promise you, whatever tradition you follow, you will feel a whole lot of holiday spirit.
Thank you so much for being with us, Santa, and for sharing your stories and telling us about where you live and what you do. It's so exciting to get to talk to you, and I know it's really, really busy season, so we're really glad you're here.
Well, Miss Story, please tell Simon and the rest of the cast and the crew that, of course, that I will always have a warm cuppa and some fresh scones or something, because Santa does a little baking himself. And I will always have a full cup for you when you come up to visit me at the North Pole. You are always welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Story Podcast. We are in strange times, so please reach out and find storytellers in your area. Join their online events. Go and find them. The opportunities to connect are abundant right now. You can connect with the podcast at Facebook or Instagram at Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. And this podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron, joining the mailing list to get podcast goodies, writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the show. You'll hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
Stay on the nice list.
Mary Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.